Today, want to talk about what will happen in the future. We know we have been having a lot of articles and media related to AI and the technological advances of our time. And certainly artificial intelligence is changing the way that companies do business. They're incorporating it into a lot of processes. They're trying to make a lot of processes more efficient and automate a lot of things. These large language models, which that's what these are, all of these artificial intelligence, putting data together from the internet and then these computers, really working with a lot of data that is not only available in the internet, but these large language models where they can generate things as though they were a person. They are promising to do a lot of different things, automate a lot of things, and even surgeries now, even surgeries are performed by robots now in hospitals. Like there's some surgeries that are completely robotic, and there might just be physicians that are just supervising things. But if the robots are replacing even surgeons, what other positions and jobs will they not be able to take care of or displace? And this is causing a lot of concern among a lot of people. And there's a lot of things that the elite and the companies are actually thinking about. What is AI going to do? They're looking to a future where a lot of routine tasks, mundane tasks, are done by robots and not by people. A lot of analysis, a lot of synthesizing of information and all of these types of things. But what will happen truly in the future? Will we get to this utopia? I would like to talk about today what the Bible says about what will happen truly in the future, because what will happen in the future, it's so much bigger than anything that any machine could ever do, because it's what God is doing. And I would like for us to be reminded today about our purpose and why God made us, why he made you and me, and the amazing creation of God in creating man and woman. And let's start by going to Genesis 1:26, where God created us, because there are some very important scriptures that we're going to go over today again. And I know these are things that we've talked about in the past and studied in the past, but for us to continue to get an understanding of truly what will happen in the future. We know there's going to be technological advances. We know there's going to be a lot of these things, but what the elite and what the people, the rulers of this world and mega corporations are trying to achieve in utopia and in a world where there's a lot of automation and people just kind of sit back and relax, we're going to see that that's not what is important to God. That is not the focus, and truly that their plans in the end are not going to succeed, because man has always tried to play God and try to substitute God with machines, with things, with artifacts, and that is not what God wants. But in Genesis 1 and verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them male and female. And no robot ever will be able to come close to what a human being is, because we were created in the image of God. Now, men are trying to create robots and humanoids in the image of man, but the purpose that we see in the Bible of becoming part of God's family, to become spirit beings and to be born into his family, is so much greater than anything that the rulers of this world have envisioned. It's so much greater, so much profound. And that's why we know that these things that are going to happen at the times of the end is because the plan of God is going to be carried out, and his children are going to be born in his family. And here we see that God determined to make man in his image. And in verse 27, it says that he created man and women in his image. But it doesn't say according to the likeness. The plan was to make man in his image, and it says after our likeness. But in verse 27, it only says that he created man in his own image, and it doesn't talk about that likeness again. And that there is a reason for that. There's a very important reason for that that we're going to see in a little bit. But before we talk about that, let's go to Genesis 9 and verse 5. Because here we're going to see again this important principle of our future and why God created us. Because this is going to help us to understand what will happen in the future and why. Because God created us in his image, and he said he created men, male and female, in his image. But then the likeness is going to come a little bit later. In Genesis 9 and verse 5, it says, God says, "And surely the blood of your lives I will require. At the hand of every animal I will require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, his blood shall be shed by man. For he made man in the image of God." And that is a very important principle. This is after he talked about the life is in the blood, and he's going to require the blood of whoever sheds man's blood. Why? Because man is made in the image of God. And that's what he said. That's the reality, that because we are part of the family of God, right? That because we have the potential to be born into the family of God, and it's not a reality until the resurrection that we are born into the family of God. It is a reality that for those of us who have been baptized and have made that commitment with God at baptism, we have been begotten. And just as a child is begotten in the womb of the mother, is already a child of that, of those parents, so are we now the children of God, begotten but not born. But we are begotten, and we are developing and forming. And that has a lot to do with the likeness. But when we see right now everything that is developing with the technologies, they're growing exponentially. This is not a linear thing. This is exponentially the advances that we see, and also the threats. And a lot of people are quite concerned about this. They're concerned about privacy. They're concerned about rights. They're concerned about the boundaries between human and machine. They're concerned about machines potentially taking over. And all of those are real concerns. Because when we remember that we have this nature that is evil, that Adam and Eve took from the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's when we can see that to everything that man does, almost everything that man does has a good side or a positive side and a negative side. It's got good mixed with evil. And in Romans 1, we see that man is against God, and especially the people in charge, the elites of the world, and the ones that are the authorities on this earth, the well-educated, the professors in the universities, they are, the majority of them don't believe in God. They believe in the theory of evolution. And in Romans 1, verse 18, God is saying this through the Apostle Paul. It says, "Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And the truth is that we are gods in development. That is the reality, that every single man and woman has the potential to be born as a spirit being in the God family. And I know it sounds blasphemous to a lot of people outside of the church, but we know the truth. We know what God says, and he says that we are the children of God in 1 John. So that is the reality, and that's the truth. And these people are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And that's why the wrath of God is revealed and is going to be to its full extent manifested in the great tribulation. That's what's going to happen. Because these men are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, in lawlessness. And then it says, because verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested to them. Everybody has to have, everybody believes that there has to be more to this life. That's why there's so many religions. That's why there's so many thoughts about the afterlife. But God has manifested through the creation. It's like a poem, what he's created. It's a beauty. It's an amazing thing that God has created, where he's put his signature. Nobody else could have created what God has created for us. Everything in nature, everything in the world. And he says, for the invisible things of him, we cannot see him because he's spirit. It says, are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that were made, because they show his handiwork, both his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They know better. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And that's what we're seeing, even with AI and all of these technologies. They are becoming vain in their own reasonings, thinking, we're going to arrive at that utopia. We're going to arrive at the place where we are self-sufficient, where we extend life indefinitely, where we have everything that we absolutely need, and where we don't need to even work, not knowing that God created us as servants. He created us to work. He created us to do all these things, to have to struggle. He created us that way because that is the process of becoming a child of God. That is the process of conversion. It's through struggles, through trials, through tribulations, afflictions. And that's how he created man. That's why when he talks about Jesus Christ, that he took the form of a servant, is because we all have the form of a servant. That's how he created us. He created us to serve and to work and to produce and to struggle and to have trials and to do all these things. That's the process of conversion. It's not an easy process. Jesus himself said that there is a narrow way, right? There is a narrow path that leads to life. So all of these things, they are ignoring, and they're becoming vain in their own reasonings through all of these computer technology, you know, whether it's quantum computing, AI, blockchain, all of these technologies that are coming about. And technology in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is the ideas of men and their reasonings, these vain imaginations, and their foolish hearts are darkened, not understanding that the purpose of man has to be developed through this process that God has created, in serving, in changing, in dealing with personal relationships, in working and figuring things out, and using the mind that God gave us, not to just put it into a machine and let it run. No, their foolish hearts were darkened, thinking that they're going to get to this utopia and all of these things, but that's not going to happen. We know that at the end, all of these plans are going to be thwarted. We know that at the end, human nature is going to get the best of man, and there's going to be wars, and there's going to be all of these things after they apparently achieved peace for a period of time, until they apparently achieved this utopia. And that's the reason they're going to fight against Jesus Christ at his return. But it says, while professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools by rejecting God. Rejecting God completely and trusting in their own vain reasonings, their hearts are darkened. They are separating each time more and more and more from God. They're becoming, trying to become gods unto themselves, creating things of their own imaginations in robots and artificial intelligence, and trying to create this thing. They're trying to play God, not knowing that we were made in the image of God, that we were made for a good purpose. And then it says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man. That's what we're seeing with humanoids. That's exactly what we're seeing with robots that look like humans. And not only, this is not only for productivity's sake. It's also now there's robots for companionship and all kinds of things. They're doing that for, you know, and this is the likeness of an image of corruptible man. And it says, and of birds and of four-footed creatures and creeping things. And that's what they're doing. They're modeling all of these robots after humans and also after animals. You know, and that is what's happening. They are changing that. They continue to change that. Maybe in the past it was idols, but now is technology, is robots and all of these things. And we're going to see that this is not going to be what God desires. He's going to thwart all these plans. Let's go to Psalm 17, because David understood how these people operate. He understood how the evil and wicked behave, because this behavior doesn't change. Just because we're in a different era and with different technology, human nature doesn't change. There has always been people like this, with these intentions of being God unto themselves, all the way from Nimrod and before. This has happened before. And in Psalm 17 and verse 8, it says here, this is a prayer of David. And David is praying these things, and he's asking God to deliver him from his enemies. And he says in verse 8, and we should pray the same thing, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, from the face of the wicked who oppress me, my deadly enemies who encircle me. They have closed their pitiless hearts. With their mouth, they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. And you can see, like, if we're talking about all of these elite of this world and these corporations and what they're planning to do, it's very similar to these things. With this pitiless hearts, we're just going to go forward with technology. We're going to make the world a better place. And yes, they talk about how it's going to be augmenting the ability of humans to not focus in small tasks or menial tasks or routine tasks, and to focus on higher thinking skills. But that's not what's happening. That's not the reality, because without an understanding of the plan of God and being disconnected from God, all that's happening is this. Is speaking proudly, is having pitiless hearts, is surrounding people in their steps. And that's how David felt. He says that in verse 12, they are like a lion that longs to tear his prey. And that is what's happening at the highest levels. That is what's happening. People are not regarded as their fellow human beings, but as resources. And then it says, they are like lions that long to tear his prey, and like a young lion stalking in secret places. And he prays to God. David says in verse 13, arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are full of children and will leave their riches to their babes. When we read these things and we see, and he's asking God to deliver his soul from the wicked by his sword, he's literally going to do that. He's going to come in that white horse with that garment dipped in blood and his sword coming out of his mouth to devour the wicked from the earth, to devour the chief captains and the generals and all of the top officials and the top people of this world. That's what's going to happen. Of these men of the world whose portion is in this life, this is all they're thinking about. They're thinking about the latest technology. They're thinking about this utopia. They're thinking about their world government. They're thinking about these things. And it says, whose belly you fill with your treasure. It says, they are full of children and will leave their riches to their babes. That's all they care about. Physical possessions and having more and having dominance. That's what they're thinking about. But in verse 15, is what we were talking about in Genesis 1 and verse 26, when God has said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And David understood this because he said, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. He understood. Here's the likeness. David knew that he was going to be awakened with the likeness of God, that he had his image, but the likeness comes later. The likeness, the complete likeness, comes at the resurrection. But right now is that process of getting from just being in his image to then being in his likeness. This is a transformation journey. That's what our lives are all about. That's what we have been called, to be transformed. And that is the purpose. In Proverbs 12, And it's so true, because the Proverbs show so many of these truths as principles. In Proverbs 12 and verse 2, it talks about this very same thing, where it says, the good man receives grace from the Lord. And as we know, grace is that access and that relationship with God. Now, it says, but he will condemn a man of wicked devices. So when we talk about what will happen in the future, that's what we will happen. The ultimate grace that we will have is to see the face of God himself, to be before our Lord Jesus Christ and before God the Father. The good man receives grace from the Lord, but he will condemn a man of wicked devices. And when we think about the future as far as technology and all of these, those are wicked devices. All they're thinking about is physical, is their own purpose, and it is nothing but greed. It's how can we produce more? How can we obtain more? How can we control more? So those are wicked devices. But it says here that God will condemn a man of wicked devices. The good man receives grace from the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to remember that this process of becoming good, the good man, is this process of conversion. It's this becoming in the likeness of God. And now let's go to John 14, because this is something that is going to happen in the future. John 14 and verse 1, where Jesus said at the beginning of these words of the new covenant that we renew each year, the Passover, where he said, let not your heart be troubled. And that's a command. Let not your heart be troubled. We're going to see a lot of these things, a lot of advancements, a lot of issues, a lot of things coming about. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. So right now, he is also preparing a place for us. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And that is the promise, that God the Father will have a kingdom established on the earth, that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us in his Father's house, in the very temple of God in New Jerusalem. That is the truth. And it's amazing how, coming back to the Proverbs 12 and verse 7, we're going to see another principle here, because it's amazing how in the Proverbs, like I said, these things are expressed as principles, but we see it throughout the other scriptures. In Proverbs 12, 7, where it says, the wicked are overthrown and are gone, but the house of the righteous shall stand. And we just read about the house. It's the house of the Father, where Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. But the wicked, it says, are overthrown and are gone. And that's exactly what's going to happen to the wicked. To the ones whose portion is in this life, whose belly they fill with the treasure of God. But what do we want? We desire exactly what David desired. He said, for as for me, I will be satisfied when I awake with your likeness, understanding the true purpose of human beings' existence on this earth is to become like God, to be part of his family, to dwell in his house forever and ever, in that house that Jesus Christ is preparing, and that he's going to come back to receive us to himself on the sea of glass. Let's go to Luke 1, because we're going to read a few scriptures about what we're supposed to be doing right now. In Luke 1, and this is concerning John the Baptist, but this is an amazing thing, because it says in verse 13, this is when the angel appeared to Zacharias, and when he was announcing, telling him that he was going to have a son, his name was going to be John, speaking about John the Baptist. In verse 13, it says, but the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, because your supplication has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son to you, and you shall call his name John, and he shall be a joy and exaltation to you, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great before the Lord, and he shall never drink wine or strong drink in any form, but he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And that's exactly what we saw when Jesus said that among those born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. This was a special calling for a special man. And then he says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And that's what God wants to always do with us, turning us to him. And he says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God wants to prepare his people. And he's talking about turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And how is he going to do that? That's the process of conversion. That's pointing us to God himself and to have this grace and this relationship with God where we are being transformed. And that is the spirit, in the spirit of Elijah is the spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. He had it from his mother's womb. And that is exactly what God wants to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, through that direct relationship, continually transform our minds in everything that we do, in everything that we say, that we're looking more and more like Christ so that we can be with him, so that we can achieve the ultimate objective of being born in the family of God. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Because these are the things that we need to be doing. And he says, and he's talking about the apostles here, the prophets in the Old Testament. Peter's saying, to whom it was revealed that not for themselves, but to us, they were ministering these things, which now have been announced to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, into which things the angels desire to look. The purpose of human beings is so amazing that even the angels desire to look at that, because we have the potential that is amazing, is to be born children in the family of God as spirit beings at the resurrection. And he says, for this reason, be prepared in your minds, be self-controlled, and be fully hoping in the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is amazing. It's an encouragement for us to believe in the plan of God, to believe in the coming of Jesus Christ, to believe in the transformation that is taking place now, and to believe it even stronger than the elite believe in their devices and in what they're going to do with all their robotics and their plans. The plan of God is so much greater. It's going to happen. Do we believe it? Are we prepared in our minds and being self-controlled and fully hoping in that grace? Are we doing that? That's what we need to be doing right now. In Matthew 24 and verse 42, Jesus said a similar thing, because these are the times to be preparing, to believe. First of all, to believe and to remember the plan of God is so much greater than any of the plans that the elites have. We can see robotics, we can see AI, we can see technology, we can see all of this surveillance and all of these things, but it doesn't matter. The plan of God is going to continue, and he has chosen us to be there. In Matthew 24, verse 42, he says, watch therefore, because you do not know in what hour your Lord is coming. Our Lord. It doesn't say the Lord of the world. Our Lord is coming. And then it says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at a time that you do not think. So we have to be ready. We have to believe. We have to remember the amazing purpose. Let's go to 1 Corinthians right before we close, the second to last scripture in verse 48, where it's a reminder. It's a reminder of our purpose. And God inspired Paul to put it so succinctly that we can visualize it, that we can see and we can understand and believe that this is what's going to happen in the future. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 48, it says, as is the one made of dust, all of us, and it was Adam, so are all those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly one, so also are all those who are heavenly. So we will bear that image. It says, as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one. That is what's going to happen in the future for certain. Now, Will we be there? We have to stay faithful till the end and believe. It says, now I say these brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Let's just remember that. And then he tells us a mystery. I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility. Must. This is not an option. This is going to happen. The plan was outlined before the foundation of the world. And then it says, and we shall be changed. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. And that is what's going to happen in the future. We have an amazing future. Let's remember that nothing can come against us if we are staying close to God, if we are continue to develop that relationship with Him, and remembering that this is that God has an amazing plan for us, and that nothing can come against us. This is a plan. This is what God has in store for all of us. Let's read one last scripture in Revelation 19 and verse 6, where it says, and I heard a voice like that of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty has reigned. Let us be glad and shout for joy, and let us give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And it was granted to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that's you and I, brethren. We are the saints. And He said to me, verse 9, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said to me, these are the true words of God. This is what is going to happen in the future. The Lamb is going to marry His bride, and we have been invited. Let's stay faithful till the end. It's great being with you. We'll see you next time.